So last week, you're doing Meditation and Life, right? The book called Meditation and Life. And last time, I think you did the topic called Success in Meditation. And how do we... So after you gain the concentration in the meditation, which will result in devotion for the Lord, and also it increases your personality, your character, all is enhanced. And then the next topic that we are going to do today is inward expansion. How do I gain that expansion inside? And what does it mean? How do I do that? So generally, you know, we have this knowledge of this world, which is very relative. You know, everything that we know in the world is within the space, time, and object. So it's all relative knowledge. You know, Gurudev gives an example of, like, if I'm looking from, I'm flying and I'm looking down from the window, this big tree looks like a small mushroom. And when you come down and you come near the tree, it looks a big giant redwood tree, which has, you know, big trunk. And so it's the same tree, but how far you are looking it from, it changes. In the same way, even the situations in life, you know, we look at it differently, you know, at different times. You know, sometimes it looks like such a big thing, and then later on, after some time, you think, oh, it wasn't such a big deal. So it's all very relative. So that is what... So it depends on which angle you are looking it from, how far you are looking it from, how closely you are looking it from. So this is... So the same thing happened when we are thinking about ourselves. How are we thinking about ourselves? Who am I? We think, I am this body, I am this mind, I am this intellect. That is what we generally think. That's what we are. And we also have this false notion or this erroneous notion that this body is very real and this mind is very real and this intellect is very real. And it's very substantial. That's how we feel. But as we, you know, we move further away from them into the higher realm or into the spiritual realm, then we realize it's not all that substantial. It is nothing. It is just a... It's like when I wake up from the dream, then I feel how the dream was. It was nothing. It was just a dream. The same way, when you realize to the higher self, then this worldly things or your body, mind, and intellect, which we think is so real, doesn't look that real to us. It is just a dream. So when we move further away, so this is how we, you know, how this ego that we have given so much importance to, I'm so and so, I'm so important, you know, is nothing. When you move forward, you know, spiritually, you know, you perceive things. So then your ego is not all that substantial. So how does Gurudev give... then you have to look at it from, you know, when you observe it with detachment and with, you know, with the detachment and with the discrimination, that then you find that this ego sense that we always feel so important is not all that important. So he gave an example of, you know, he gave an example of how, like, we are sitting in Chinmaya Mission right now, and outside when you all came in, there was a number on it, 1723. You know, there is a number on the building, and we all have a number on our house. And he says, when you look at that number, there are so many houses with the same door. They all have number on it. And that houses are in one street, and that there are so many streets in Bakersfield. Northwest, southwest, you know, all those, they are there. And then you see these streets are in the city, and city is in the state, California state, Bakersfield. Bakersfield is in California state. And California state is in USA. It's one of the state. So then it says, then he says, then you move forward and then you realize that the United States is in the continent, and the and continent, all these continents make the world, and they make the globe, you know. So these are all just continents. They don't. So then we know this world. There are so many worlds. It's not only just this earth. There are so many worlds are there. In our Vedanta, they say there are seven worlds which are below the earth, and there are seven worlds which are higher than the earth. So then all those galaxies are there. We know that there are so many galaxies, and they are so many miles, trillions and billions of miles away from each other. Yeah. So then when we expand our mind, you know, then we realize this number that we were thinking is so important is not all that important. So this is how you expand your mind. Then you look at it that you are nobody. You are just a small speck in this whole universe. And we think of ourselves like with the bloated ego that we are so and so. I'm so important. I got hurt. If somebody says something, I'm, you know, I get hurt easily. So I, you know, when we look at it, then I occupy just a fraction of space. And I am in this house. We are sitting in the you know, Chinmaya Mission. At how much room I am occupying in that space? Just one chair. At any given time, you don't. So in that, when you think of the whole, then you are just a little. So then your ego will not be so bloated, you know. So as though beside, you know, there is nothing else. That's how we feel. So there is nothing superior or important than me. That is how I feel all the time. So in reality, you know, we are just a, like I said, we are just a small, you know, in compared to the Lord of Lords, I am just a little. Yeah, so that is what I'm this. But we have this misunderstanding that our nature, that I am this finite, miserable human being, you know, or I'm suffering, or I am, you know, so and so. And many times we feel I am suffering so much, you know. When you look at other people who are suffering more than you are, then you realize that your suffering is nothing. So that's why you have to look more broad-mindedly. So, and we have all, you know, we have been so used to it by identifying with this body, with mind and intellect, with this close, so closely with this ego. And then we feel that I am this finite being. I am this sorrowful person. I am this, you know, I am this limited body, mind and intellect equipment, you know, that which is conditioned by this matter. So I have become, you know, this for, I don't know when this is, they say it has started. There's no beginning, beginningless. So we don't know when it has started. So it is beginningless. So the only way to rediscover myself, my true self, is through meditation, is other than that, you know, that I am this limited, is you just realize that you are the limitless homogeneous mass of consciousness, absolute, eternal, and is the only way to cure this. So they say there are, Swamiji has written a book called Many Problems, One Solution. We have so many, but the only solution is to know your true nature. That's the only way to get over this finitude, this sorrowful nature that we have. So he said, just to rediscover your true nature, What is your true nature? Which is infinite. You by immortality, they say, is your birthright. You are happiness. You are not looking for happiness. You are happiness. So you are consciousness. You are all pervading. You are all knowing everything. And that is the nature of, and that is our true nature. But we don't know that. So this spiritual journey is that, to discover our true nature. And that can happen through listening to the scriptures, so that will remove our ignorance about ourselves. Then by removing the doubt, it's called manana. So by contemplating what you have listened, then you contemplate on that, then all your doubts get removed, and then meditate. Meditation is to form that knowledge, to make that knowledge, and to abide in that knowledge. Is what that meditation is. So expand inwardly and grow to your full stature. This can be attained only through, like I said, through meditation. Until now, we were, you know, chanting Om. You know, you have been chanting Om, and we chanted Om in the beginning of the class 3 times. And this one is only to train your mind to become more concentrated. So we say, pay attention to the silence, pay attention to the sound of the Om, and repetition. Sometimes, you know, we are told that you keep on repeating like a japa, Om. You know, you do japa, Om japa, or any mantra. It's the same idea. Idea is to make your mind more concentration, and also make the mind to listen to you. You see, our mind otherwise keep on going in different objects. So this way you make your mind become obedient. You know, it's like your mind listens to you. So, and then also we are told that, you know, you concentrate on where the Om is rising from and where the Om is going, merging back into that space. So here, today, in this expansion, Gurudev has said that you change the direction. You change your direction. You look at, not at the sound or at the space, you just see the vibration of Om in yourself. And you feel the vibration, and then its vibrations are there, and they are merging back. They're coming and merging back. And finally, when they're merging back, you will find yourself that these vibrations are in me, and they are coming in me, and they're merging back into me. In that consciousness. That is what. And this is when you feel, you realize that your ego is nothing but a little speck there. Or it goes away, actually, your ego. So we will practice that today, and then pay attention, change the direction. And then also, you know, when we were talking about going to the source, I remember this story of Newton. You know, we all look at things and we just don't pay attention. But Newton, he was sitting there and he saw one apple, you know, it fell. And then he wasn't satisfied until he found out. He went asking, why did it fall down, not up? Why didn't it go up? Why did it fall down? So, you know, most of us will, yeah, it's okay. It fell down, it fell down. You know, but he didn't. He went to his teacher, he went to his father, he asked so many people, why did the apple fall? He didn't rest till he found the source. Why did it happen? So same thing they say, you need to know why this, you know, why I'm feeling like this, why, what is this world, what is my true nature? So you go to the source. So that is what, so that is the state of expansion. So that is what we will see today, that by doing this, you will grow inward, and you will find that you are infinite, you are all pervading, and you are, and then also in, Kena Upanishad, it is also said that you put your mind in the intellect, put your intellect in the consciousness, which is all pervading. So we have to meditate that way. So that's what this chapter was all about. But if you have any questions, we can, you know, talk about it. Have you been doing meditation on Om? And you do Om meditation on Om? You do? But Om meditation is also, there is one you say loud, then you say it so you can hear, then you say it in your mind. That also you do it on that one. Yeah.
So, I'm happiness?
You are happiness. But your true nature is happiness. My true nature is Sat, existence, consciousness, and bliss, happiness. Happy.
Boy.
Yeah, you are. You know why we look for happiness? Because we don't know. We think I am incomplete. I am incomplete. But your true nature, you are complete. You are Purna. You are complete. And we don't know that. So to become complete, I'm always looking for something to make me complete, something to make me happy. So that is what the scriptures tell us, that you are that. You know, sometimes people ask, why do we need to study scriptures, you know? Because, yeah, see, like fire is hot. I don't need scriptures to tell me that fire is hot. You can just go and put your hand in fire, you will know it's hot, right? You don't need scripture to tell that. But fire is divine, scriptures will tell you why it is divine. You know, that is another thing we have been studying in Taittiriya Upanishad. That you do meditation, look at all the luminaries. You know, all the luminaries means fire, and then you see the sun. Fire is nothing but expression of the sun. And fire is also divine and sun is also divine. How many of us know that? When you, the scriptures will tell you that everything outside, everything that you see is nothing but God. I mean, you can call it God, you can call it consciousness, you can call it Brahman. These are all same, it points to the same thing. So the source is one. Like today is like to wish everybody a happy Diwali. Today is our Diwali festival, and I know how many of you saw President Trump also lighted the lamp in the White House. Yeah, so it is a festival of light. So our Gurudev said it is, you know, we all light lamp on that day, you know, different lamps outside the house. It's a festival of light. And the lamps are all different, but light is one. The same way we are all different, but the light within us is one, and which comes from beyond, which is there. So may we all realize that and grow into that. Any other? Does that answer? Yeah.
I have been, I don't know if you're familiar with the Gnostic Gospels, the one found in 1945 in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
The small village.
Mm-hmm.
Among the scripture, the gospel,
mm-hmm.
one of them is the St. Thomas.
St.
Thomas. It's incredible.
Oh, really?
Even I was going to talk to the guru because I am amazed,
mm-hmm.
in the relationship, the similarity between what we are learning here with meditation,
mm-hmm.
and the idea,
mm-hmm.
of Jesus here,
mm-hmm.
in which, in the same way, he talks that we have that spark in our,
yeah, we are, yes,
in our inner self.
Exactly.
And the problem is that we don't realize.
We don't
that
know
we
it.
We have divinity with us, and
uh-huh.
we are sleeping,
uh-huh.
and he's telling us, you know,
uh-huh.
it's time to wake up, you know.
Uh-huh.
But it is so revealing. So, I mean, all this group, you know, they talk, their beliefs, it's so similar to
very
to
good. Yeah, they are actually.
For somebody who is coming from the Catholic tradition like myself, where you are so far away, you don't experience personally, you just follow, rule, etc., you know. Mm-hmm. But this version is where people feel, you know, that you are in contact, you are in connection with divinity. There are means, there are ways, you know, how you can connect.
That is true. These are the means.
Meditation in that way
is a means to connect.
It's a way.
Yes.
To be eternal, but to be in symphony, to be in harmony with that feeling of eternity. I mean, it's incredible.
It is so true. You are right. It is, and most of the scriptures are, all of them are pointing to the same truth, but the way they do it is different. But they all point to the same, all scriptures will say that. And some of them have been misinterpreted, I would say. Yeah.
I have read the Gnostic Gospels, and that was really enlightening. Mm-hmm. You know, and the Gnostics as a movement were killed off by what later became the Catholic Church, right about the time that the Bible was canonized, around 400 AD. Mm-hmm. And I came here just a few times and began to get the general idea of Hinduism. Hinduism is like 10,000 years old.
More than that.
More than
that.
Like, they don't even know how old.
Yeah.
This is the mother religion.
Mm-hmm.
All other religions
came afterwards.
This.
Yes.
You know, and what is so amazing is that those people back 13,000 years ago or whatever,
the rishis, yes,
they understood things about the physical universe.
Exactly.
That Isaac Newton finally figured out when he saw an apple drop it.
Afterwards.
I mean, it's absolutely phenomenal.
It is.
What was discerned then. And the most wonderful thing was that as I listened to Dr. Mehta explain things, it was like, well, that's what Jesus teaches.
Yes.
You know, he kept matching up and matching up.
That's,
you know,
true.
And I said something about, you know, could Jesus have studied with the Hindus or been talked to one or something?
Yeah, he has. You know, actually, they say he was gone in between for some years.
Yeah.
They said he was in India.
Yeah.
They say that.
Yeah.
He was in India.
You know, in Christianity, they say repent.
Mm-hmm.
That means change direction.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the parallels are just
so much.
Yeah.
Even the sin, you know, when they say sin, I am born out of sin, means sin means not knowing your true nature is a sin.
Okay, and
that's how not they interpret it. But that is what it means. You don't know your true nature, that's why your ego is born. You see, that's what it means. See, that's what they say. If you don't know your true nature, it's the biggest sin, that's what they say. So we should all meditate and let's grow inward.
Okay.
Yeah, one
I
more.
I had planned to ask Dr.
Mehta
this, but I'll ask you. You know, I am searching very intensely for a way to manage my stress.
Mm-hmm.
I'm searching for a way to find happiness in life and not to live in hell, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that I have read that makes sense and rings true, meditation is the key.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and there's nothing else like it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so but I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, you know, when we do the things that we do in here, or when I try at home, I don't know
if you're doing it right or not.
I mean, who's doing Which part of me is meditating, my body, my mind, or my intellect? And, you know, in a documentary I saw, a very scientific documentary about the connection between the outer world and the inner world, which they concluded the key is meditation. You know, it was that the whole, the knowledge of God, consciousness is out there.
Yes.
And all we have to do is clear ourselves of the junk in here, and we will just absorb it.
Right.
And so that's what I, how do I not think? How do I not?
No, you, as long as we have mind, mind is nature is to, is what is mind? Mind is flow of thought. As long as we have mind, we will think. But what we are thinking, that we can choose. See, if you are thinking, you are getting only in the world and you are thinking worldly thing, then your mind will keep going and it will. But if you are lifting your mind to the higher and thinking about that all the time, then...
When you lift your mind to the higher, when you meditate, can you tell me kind of what you perceive, that you experience, or that you do?
You feel calmness, you feel peaceful, silence, you feel, you know, those are the signs. But you will not, like some people want to see God or consciousness. It's not an object. You will not see it like an object, because then it is, there is someone who is seeing it, and which is, and God is all pervading, all knowing. So whoever is perceiving it then becomes more powerful than that. So there's only one, there's no two.
So
that is what. So, and also it takes time. It's not like all of a sudden that you will, you know, get yourself lifted up. You just keep practicing. It's like how long it takes for us to become a doctor. It takes, first we have to go to 12 years of school, then you go to college 4 years, then you go to medical school 4 years, 8 and 12, 20 years, you know, and then you go do residency. So many years it takes us to become a doctor. And then also, you don't become a good doctor, then you practice, then you become a good doctor.
Sure.
The same way the meditation, it takes time. It takes time.
When you're, let's say, you're, and I'm trying to be as respectful as possible, that when you're in the meditation place, when you're in the zone, whatever you want to call it, are you aware that you're there?
Yeah, you are aware you are there.
Okay.
The awareness is there. So idea is to lose that small I, that I am so important, but I am all pervading. I am not this body. I am not this mind. We have done that, I think, meditation on that. That if that thought comes to you, they say when you sit for meditation, you know, I think you have covered those points many times. You find a morning time when there are not too many distractions. You sit in a secluded place. It should be clean. It should not be, there should not be something disturbing or anything. There should not be noise, because in early morning, everybody is sleeping. So you sit, that's the best time to do meditation. So what you are doing is, all your senses are in, you know, you're not feeding them. So your eyes are closed, your, you know, all your organs of actions are, you know, you're sitting, so your legs are folded, or your hands are here, so they are not working.
Inside and out.
Inside and out.
Okay.
It is inside and out. You start from outside, and then you go inside. So inside. Inside is, this is called physical. And then you make your mind free from all these negative thoughts, you know. And then sit in a, you know, with a resolve that I am not a father. I am not a husband. I am not the daughter. I am not in all those responsibility, all that roles that we play. We put it on one side. Not during the meditation time. So this is all... we have to practice. So we have to discipline ourselves.
Okay.
So once you have that, then your mind is listening to you. That's what I, you know, mentioned in the class, that you are training your mind to be obedient. Otherwise, mind, you know, little sounds come. The mind said, oh, I have heard this sound somewhere else. Where did I hear it? Oh, when I went on that trip, that bird was like that, chirping like this. And then you are suddenly, before you know, you are gone. You know, so like that. So you tell your mind to, no, I'm sitting for meditation. And so that is what, because one girl, she just came back from Vipassana. She just went for 10 days to Vipassana meditation. And that's what she said. They were just allowed, whole day they are supposed to have different three sessions. No talking on the phone, no TV, no talking to anybody. Only in the evening for 45 minutes they were talking to the teacher. How many of us can do like that? We are all the time, you know, putting things in our mind. You know, when they say fasting, fasting has to be of all that, not only just eating. The fasting in what I'm taking through my senses. Am I watching TV, too much TV, or what kind of TV I'm watching? That also is important. So all those things are very, very important. So I think that is called the preparation for meditation. So once you have mastered that, then you meditate on the self. That is little. Yeah, first we have to, I used to tell Swamiji, I cannot sit very long. He said, don't worry, sit every day, no matter, same time. Every day you sit for meditation. It's like you make one place, you know, when I'm going for tennis, you put tennis clothes on, or you go to the gym, you put gym clothes on. So you know, you're mentally ready, okay, I'm going to do exercise. Same way, for meditation, you make one place and then you go and sit there. So that is, does that answer your question?
It sure does.
Yeah. So just keep on doing, and then this we can apply. Anybody else?
Yeah, I have a question, but could be divided into two questions, but you can answer it.
Yeah, I'll try.
Let's say, for instance, this thought form that floating around in the ether that come and permeate our thoughts and when we, or our body, our sensation when we're perhaps just resting or being by ourselves or even meditating, and they're floating around. The first part of the question is, do they have some sort of energy, and where does that energy come from? And the other question is, would be like, how to address that, because it could cause disturbances in our emotions and in our state of being, and even the way how we react to other people. So there it is, you know, it could be answered in any way possible.
Yeah, no, the first you said that it, what do you get? You get the vibrations in your mind? What did the first part, I didn't understand.
Well, I called it thought forms that carry energy, and it could be permeating the mind or even the body sensations, or it could manifest perhaps in cold or heat,
mm-hmm.
or maybe some sort of electricity.
Mm-hmm.
In the body.
You just watch that. Watch it. Who is having it? So the idea is not to go with the energy, any thought also. So it is coming from that energy, is from the total energy, right? So, but where is, who is getting that energy? So you have to distance yourself from that. Otherwise you will get carried away with it. Same thing with the thought. If the thought comes, if I get carried away with the thought, so idea is, who is illumining this thought? What is it that is illumining the thought? What is that power behind the thought? So you bring your mind there rather than going with the thought or with the sensation. In Vipassana also, they make you sit and you observe all the sensations that are happening in your body. You observe them. So what that does is, it brings your mind from different directions to to that part of the body. Does that answer you? No.
As I said, everything will be very good to hear.
Yeah. Try that, you know, in your meditation. So just bring your attention to who is having this. Or you can go this way, that energy. You know, who is energizing that thought? Or who is feeling this whatever energy you are? You can go either way. Who am I? Who is doing it? You say, I will do it. Then who am I? Then you will come. So your thought will get away from that. I mean, that's how I would answer that. But you can ask Dr. Mehta, maybe he will answer it differently.
So the observer observing finally realizes that it is something from the outside, and then he can do something about it, whoever that is.
The observer is different than the observed, right? I'm looking at the book. I'm not the book. There is something in me which is looking at the book, right? There is an observer in me who is looking at the book, right? Then who is that observer? That witness is that consciousness. Well, that consciousness is observer in the presence of objects. When the objects are there, it's called observer. Otherwise, it's just a consciousness. All pervading consciousness, which makes you conscious of something. Does that satisfy your answer? Question, no?
I was very satisfied even
if I was just an extra. No, just you have to go to the source. Source is the thing that consciousness. And then even in who am I? I am all pervading, all infinite, homogeneous mass, which everything is happening in me. At the end, that's what, you know, sometimes we say, oh, God is all pervading. So we look for it outside. It's not, it's me inside. Everything is happening in me. See, right now we are so I and mine, you know. So we have to expand that I and mine. So that is why I say, right now I just think about me and my family. Then you think about the me and the society. Then you think about me and the county, or then state, and then like we talked about. That's how you expand your eye. Anything? I think people have a lot of questions here. That's good. Becomes more like a discussion group. That's nice.
I just go back and see them like clouds floating by.
Yeah.
Witness them and realize I'm not those thoughts.
Yes.
They're just thoughts floating by. That helps me to detach from them.
Yeah.
The longer I sit, the more often I sit, the less clouds there are.
Yeah, that's good, but just, then go to the source that who is illumining this thought. It will take you a little bit more deeper.
Yes.
Who is it that is? Because thoughts by themselves are inert. They only become conscious because of that consciousness, because of that light. You can call it light, you can call it consciousness, different names, but it's same source. Okay, let's just sit for meditation. Everybody sit up straight. Relax. Your head and neck and your back should be in one straight line. Put your hands on the knees or in your lap. Relax. Now, bring your attention to the breathing. Feel the air going in. And going out. feel the cold air going in and the warm air going out. Relax your whole body from the toe to the head. Let us feel the vibration of Om inside us. See the vibration coming up and then merging back into me. Your mind wanders, bring it back. The present. Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namah. Hari Om. Slowly open your eyes. Keep this peace and joy with you. Rest of the evening. Hari Om.